Let's chat with State Senator Bill Igel. Post-legislative session, the 2019 session, wraps up on Friday with a flurry of activity. As always, Senator, how are you? Welcome back.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me.
When we last visited, that was on Wednesday, when you guys were kind of in the middle of this filibuster over the economic development situation and that bill and some disagreements with the governor's office. Just out of curiosity, what happened with that? How come that whole thing collapsed?
Well, we had to make a tough call to sit down because as much as we were opposed to that type of incentive package, which was picking winners and losers, and it was benefiting the few over the many, we needed to get on to an even more important conversation, and that was the conversation about protecting the sanctity of life. And I'm pleased to report that that sacrifice was not in vain because on Wednesday, actually it was Thursday morning, by the time we got done, we were able to pass the most comprehensive pro-life bill that we've ever seen pass in the state of Missouri.
But, I mean, can we be honest and say that the whole filibuster was basically about that? Because you didn't really get anything in return for that when it came to economic development, did you?
Well, when it came specifically to economic development, unfortunately, the governor really wasn't willing to move on that. And unfortunately, a lot of our fellow caucus members were willing to sacrifice the pro-life issue in order to get these economic giveaways. The conservative caucus, the five other members of the Senate, including myself, were not willing to do that. So ultimately, we made a tough call and we sat down. But what we achieved by getting the passage of that heartbeat bill was tremendous. We got not only protections for unborn children at the eighth week of development, we also got additional resources for pregnancy resource centers around the state. We got additional restrictions all across the abortion spectrum. So I think it was the right call to make, and I think that we did a good job starting a conversation about economic development and what the proper role of government is when it comes to picking winners and losers. And we'll continue that into next session, but we got the win we were looking for, and that was on pro-life.
Is that win, in your mind, simply because it's a case that go before the Supreme Court? I mean, it's unlikely that these laws will take effect until the courts make some decisions, correct?
That's correct. Well, I think that's correct. Of course, you and I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I certainly the legal challenge is part of the story, and it may be that even if certain parts of it are challenged, other parts of it, like the legislation we got passed improving access and availability for pregnancy resource centers, will go into effect. So I think there was a lot to like about that bill, and you know, there's no day like today when it comes to when's a good time to fight for life. So we did that, and here we are.
You don't think, Bill, and I think this might be a rhetorical question. We talked about it last week, and I'm pretty sure you don't feel this way, but I think I have some concern, and it's difficult when you talk about these issues because there are harsh realities when it comes to the loss of human life, which I'm quite troubled by. I've always been baffled, and in the aftermath of these bills, remain baffled by the response by many on the left that approached this issue with a callousness that I'm just stunned and saddened by. On the other hand, I think that the other side goes too far when it comes to the infanticide portions of their legislations in, you know, pieces of legislation in other states. But I think that maybe you can make the case that there's an overreach here and in Georgia and Alabama as well. Now, you're going to disagree with that, but you realize, and I think that there are people that certainly believe, maybe we talked about this on Wednesday, they believe in restrictions for abortion. I think most people believe that reasonable restrictions for abortion should be in place, whether they're pro-choice or pro-life. The other side of the equation is, and I've got a piece that's just stunning in front of me right here by a woman named Laura Penny, who thinks that she's advocating, and I think a lot of people on the left advocate for no restrictions whatsoever, which is kind of shocking to me. But do you think that there is any kind of political risk here for something when it comes to voters thinking this is a bit of an overreach? Women voters, obviously, in particular.
Well, I got to be honest, you know, for the area that I represent out here in St. Charles County, I think the feeling is a lot of support for the bill that we passed. And there's ultimately a point at which I'm not basing my opinions on defending life based on what necessarily is going to happen in the next election. The reality is I was very clear with my constituents before I was elected that I was going to come down to Jefferson City and do everything that was within my power to help defend the sanctity of life. And that was a very clear decision. It's on every one of my political campaign signs. So I think that it was very clear what I was going to do. And I feel like passing this bill is making good on probably what was the number one commitment in my campaign cycle. So I feel pretty comfortable that I'm on the same page with my constituents. And as it comes to defending life, if there's something else I can do next year, I'm going to continue to take those steps because I think it's that important. You know, I've always defined the proper role of government as defending the rights of the citizen. And amongst these are the defense of life, liberty, and property. So
but
we'll continue to do that.
Right. And I asked you this question last week, but I mean, I think where people are having difficulty is on the no exceptions. So in the final version of the bill that passed, are there exceptions?
There is exceptions for the where the life of the mother is in danger. There are not exceptions for rape and incest.
And you gave me an explanation for that last week, but let's say you have a 13, 14-year-old girl who is raped and then is forced to take the child to term because there's no exception for rape or incest. You're okay with that?
Well, somehow the conversation has gotten to the point that if you're okay with these exemptions not being present, that somehow you're okay with rape or incest. That's not the case at all. Those are tragedies as well in our society. We've got to do everything we can to prevent those and keep our young women from coming to that type of harm. But that being said, the tragedy of rape and incest shouldn't beget another tragedy, which is a loss of life. So I know that this is a very emotional issue. I know that people come down in different areas on this particular issue, but this is something that I've prayed about a lot and that I'll continue to keep fighting for.
I tend to break these things down, and this is more difficult for me now because I'm the father of a daughter. You know, I've had two boys, so now I look at it, I think, a little bit from a different perspective. I've been married for a while, a couple of times, but I guess when you think about, I can't even imagine the horror of being raped or the horror of being raped and turning up pregnant. So, you know, sometimes I think of these things in terms of my daughter in the future. And I understand your case. I really do. And I mentioned from the beginning, Bill, I think the other side, they never look at these things as human lives. And the callousness is outrageous to me. And I think it's outrageous to a lot of people. But where the overreach comes into play is when you have extremes on both sides. And that's where I guess I'm a little concerned. I'm very, very uncomfortable with these types of bills right now, even though I'm pro-life, because I think that there is, unfortunately, an opportunity to move backwards here. And that somewhat concerns me.
Sure. I get that. And Mark, I have a daughter as well. She's 12 years old. And certainly as parents, we never want harm to come to our children, and we certainly don't want harm to come to any women in the nation on those types of issues. But that being said, I've heard a lot of inspirational stories about adults who were conceived in those type of tragedies growing up and being able to live very productive and loving lives. And those are miracles as well. So those are very difficult questions, but ultimately where my mind has come down is that I'm going to continue to do whatever I can to protect life. And that may be, in one sense, perceived as being a very narrow vision, but it's a very rock-solid foundation to where I always know where I'm coming from, and I'll continue to fight battles as I see them in defense of life.
State Senator Bill Igel from the St. Charles area. I appreciate it. Thank you, Bill.
Yep. Thanks, Mark.